Kitchen Tune-Up can tunify your kitchen and give you a functional and inviting space in only 1 to 5 days. And many projects are only $99 to $249 a month. Request a free virtual consultation at kitchentuneup.com and get ready to love your kitchen again.
All right, 8:40 on this Thursday morning. Many of us have spent hours and hours and hours in front of the computer screen in the last year plus. Lots of Zoom meetings, lots of teleconferencing, and it's not going away. In fact, it looks like it's probably here to stay. And is that good for our brains? Turns out it might actually be. Joining us right now, Chief Science Officer at Corporate Visions, Dr. Carmen Simon. Dr. Simon, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Tell us about this study about neuroscience and video conferencing.
We had the opportunity to conduct a neuroscience study using typical tools such as EEG, GSR, eye tracking. For EEG, we measure electric waves that get generated in reaction to stimulation. Have you seen those caps or headsets that you can place on people's scalps, and through the electrodes that we place there, we can record these brain waves? Have you seen those?
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so imagine that participants recruited from the B2B industry, business-to-business industry, are wearing these devices as they are viewing text-based emails and also video-based emails. And with these devices that give us an undiluted look into how the brain processes information, we are able to compare the two. And that's when we were seeing some advantages for video-based emails.
So our brains prefer to see images rather and to communicate that way rather than just reading an email.
Yeah, you have just the key word, which is images. That is one reason why we noted that video-based emails, for example, tend to put the brain in a positive state of mind, make it less fatigue. You're talking about Zoom, and we know that Zoom fatigue is a thing. We noted that video-based emails tend to get people to be more motivated to act on what they're viewing. And image usage is one reason why that could be so, like you said. Another reason could be that with video, and especially with motion inside the video, we're better able to conduct the information in such a way that we can guide where people are looking. And attention is a precursor to people being more engaged, being more motivated to look at things, and ultimately remembering what you're viewing as well.
Now, a lot of us use email in our regular day-to-day business. A lot of us have used video meetings like Zoom. What do you mean by video messages? This sounds like kind of a hybrid of the two.
Yeah, so imagine as people have been adjusting to the pandemic era, where, as you're noting, video conferencing has been skyrocketing, the brain is starting to get a little bit more adjusted to using video in general. So you can share your webcam in a video conferencing setting, but you can also record yourself with your phone or with other tools and create a message, which you can then embed in an email that you might send to your prospects or customers in order to make an impression.
Are we likely to see more of that moving forward?
I'm convinced, because as the brain is getting a little bit more adjusted and habituated to being on video, we're noticing an increase in this trend called user-generated video. So in the post-pandemic era, we expect that people will use video more and more in order to communicate and connect with others better.
That's really interesting. We're talking with Dr. Carmen Simon, Chief Science Officer at Corporate Visions. Tell us some of the other findings when it comes to video. What did you find in this study?
Yeah, let's unpack a few other details in a little bit more in terms of why is it that the brain might prefer video. One reason is that typically video will include motion, and our visual system is designed and has evolved such that it tracks better with that which moves. The eyes are drawn to movement. In fact, when something doesn't move and becomes stagnant, after a while it becomes invisible. We also know that sometimes video-based messages include faces, and from an evolutionary perspective, the brain is also drawn to those because we are a sophisticated social society, so face processing is important in our involvement. We also note that whenever people create videos, by default, they tend to create them in a much more compact and comprehensible way, which impacts the way that you understand the information. So it's no wonder that after a while, you tend to have less friction, negativity in that environment, because if you're looking at a video that's well done, the brain is processing it in a way that is designed already.
Very interesting. Yeah, this, I mean, when you're staring at your email, like you said, it's just static. It your eyes kind of glaze over sometimes.
Yes, they do, and I'm glad that you're mentioning just the key phrase, glazing over, because one of the tools that we did use in our study was eye tracking, which enables us to look where participants are looking. We know how long they're looking for and whether they return to a stimulus. And we were noting that when people are processing text-based emails, the sentences tend to be rather long and the paragraphs tend to be rather long, which induce a heavier cognitive workload. And with video-based emails, you tend to ease that hardship.
Very interesting. Yeah, sometimes the email is something you need because there's very specific things you need to point out, but sometimes a simple communication on video might be better. We might be seeing more of that in the business place, in the post-pandemic world. Where can we find more information on the stuff we've been talking about this morning?
Our listeners can go to vidyard.com. This is vidyard.com. And they can download the full report, and we hope they enjoy it.
All right. Hey, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.